let's read here, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She was wrapped in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord said to them, "The glory of the Lord shone around them," and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born." And the church said,
Amen.
Savior has been born. To you, He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them, this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Here, right here, we see the Christmas story. And we have the baby lying in the manger. And, it's so incredible. We talked about, just the Christmas season. This is what Christmas is about. And yet, so many people are not familiar with the story, or they confuse the story, or to be honest, it won't even be mentioned in their Christmas. And yet, we see here Jesus, and the way He was born, you would think there'd be a red carpet laid out for Him. But that was not the case. He was born in a very normal way, with a very normal set of parents, normal circumstances, normal town, normal census that went on every year. And that's why they were going to Bethlehem to register. And everything just seemed normal, but the gift we would get that day would be anything but normal. We see Jesus. Jesus would come, and today, this Christmas day, a Savior would be born. And we would receive a gift that none of us would really deserve. A gift that we did not expect. Much like Mike didn't really expect that Monopoly money right there. This seemingly child that there was no room left for in the inn. There was no room for him. The parents that hadn't been married. It seemed just normal. But God had a plan and a purpose. The angels come down, and this wasn't a normal kid, and you could kind of tell because shepherds were coming and going, "Hey, I know you just had a baby and everything. Where is this baby? How do you know about it?" An angel told me. "Where is this baby? This baby's a little bit special." Okay, so they come in. And then angels come down. Okay, I think I got it. This is a special kid. And the angels even come down. This is Christ. The Savior is born. We needed a Savior, did we not? Now, I remember being in the world. I needed a Savior for my life because I wanted something to save me from the consequences of sin. Maybe I didn't know what all was wrong about sin, but I knew after I sinned, there was a feeling I felt of guilt. Of, man, this is wrong. And I needed someone not just to save me from the consequences, but from the sins themselves. This wasn't just Mary's firstborn, but this would be the firstborn of all creation. The image of the invisible God. You imagine that? Coming down from the right hand of God
in coming down to be a person that dies and has feelings and, you know, and has all these, is just in this mortal body. It's like becoming a cockroach or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Seriously, how could you exchange the immortal for the mortal? And yet, Jesus did that for every single one of us. But Christ the Savior. Well, a lot of people growing up hearing that. Christ is your Savior. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. But that's not the only fact. He says, today a Savior has been born to you. Christ the Lord. You know, the word Lord very clearly has taken so much of a different meaning today. I grew up in churches where you could say Christ is Lord and nobody would blink at that. They'd go, oh yeah, I know that. And yet the way they lived didn't show that they were the Lord.
That's right.
It didn't show God was the Lord in their life. It showed that really God was subservient to them. They fit them in their schedule. Anyway, I remember Christ needed to be the Lord. The word Lord, very clearly, master, owner, right? Yeah. Is Jesus your master or owner today, guys?
Come on.
Is there a part of your life that he doesn't really own? That he kind of goes out of your life in that area. Oh, yeah, I want Jesus to be my master in all these other areas, but not that. I want to keep that one on to myself. You know, and that's the way I was. You know, I remember being in college, my freshman year of college. Basically, all my life, I never met my dad a lot. I grew up a lot of insecurity because of that. I think Satan used that, and I let him use that. And a lot of times I felt unloved. I felt like, why would my dad leave me? Why would he not take place in my life? And it was, I don't think it was his fault that I sinned. But those are the circumstances that Satan used.
Come on.
Anyway, I even in my life, this insecurity led me to many, many other sins. Wanting desire and wanting attention from women. Wanting a desire and attention from men to respect me, to love me. I wanted to be the best at everything so people would like me more. I was, everything I put my hand to, I was very successful at. I was playing basketball, had great grades. On the outside, I was doing pretty well. Went to church every Wednesday, Sunday, put money in the plate. You know, I would bet there's someone here doing that right now and thinks that's enough. But right here, the Lord, he had to be my master. I didn't know that concept. And when I looked in the scriptures, I saw a Savior, but no one had really taught me how to make Jesus my master. We don't like that word, master. You're my boss, right? You're my owner.
Yeah.
You know, who do you think you are? But I never really made that decision to make Jesus my master in my life. I want to charge you today. If you're sitting here and there's either you've made him Lord at one time in your life, but there's a part of your life that really you kind of do your own thing right there. Or maybe you've never really made Jesus Lord of your life. Make Jesus Lord of your life. He's got to be Lord of your life to be the Savior of your life. Because so many people, we want one or the other, right? Oh man, I want the little baby Jesus who was the Savior on Christmas. I want the little baby, and that's my baby Jesus, right? But no, we've got to have Jesus as Lord, as King, the supreme of all creation. You know, it was so incredible. So, because a disciple named Curtis Epley shared his faith with me one day. I was still in my sin, in a fraternity now, still having a great grade, doing collegiate sports or whatever. But he shared his faith with me, and you know, he was just an ordinary guy. There wasn't this kind of physical attraction or anything like that. He wasn't like a sharp guy, but he was a bold man of faith. And I recognized that. I said, wow, that's some kind of guy. Anyway, he shared his faith with me. I studied the Bible. And December 1st of 2002, I was baptized into the Lord.
Amen.
It was so incredible to have such a confidence that not Jesus is not just my Savior. He is my Master. You know, it's been incredible on campus with our campus and teen ministry. We've been coming on in, and there have been so many people making Jesus Lord of their lives. And it's just been so incredible. You know, just this semester, we've had over 9 campus students and teens baptized into the Lord. And it's been just incredible. See, God adding just this semester in 3-4 months of time. And so 5 of those in the last 5 weeks of time. And it's just been incredible. And so today I want to give you a chance
to hear those students.
Amen.
That today we're going to have an incredible opportunity to hear of so many stories. You know, Jesus has got to be Lord and Savior of our lives. Amen? And if He's not, I pray that this is going to help you to really see how big of an impact it can make in your life. We're going to have the sisters share first. We're going to have three of our sisters sharing, and Christina will share about them. And then we're also going to have three guys sharing. And it's going to be so incredible just to see how God is working just through the lives of the members here. Amen?
Amen. Come on, Christina.
Amen. Well, it has been an awesome semester. This year has been so much different than last year. Just watching God work, watching the ministry grow, both people getting baptized, moving up from the teens, moving from New York. It's just been really incredible watching God work. And I've just been encouraged this semester watching, including these three, but even more people just get added to the kingdom. And they each add something so special to our ministry and to this church. So if you haven't gotten to know them, start getting to know them because we're a family, right? And, I'm grateful for each one of them. Christian, it was awesome just studying the Bible with her and just watching her really want to surrender her life to the Bible and just really just being humble to it, really just seeing what the Word said and just being humble. And I'm just watching her heart to want to learn and grow has been awesome. With Tracy getting baptized in the teen ministry. I know she's gone through a lot to get to where she is today, but I'm just encouraged by it. I'm just watching her change to where she's just been able to trust and be willing to love and be loved. I know when she moved here, she's just kind of like, don't talk to me, but she's changed so much and it's been so incredible. I'm sure her parents have been super encouraged just watching her change and grow. Definitely a light for the teens. And then Peggy, our little fighting Puerto Rican soul in the ministry. It's just been definitely awesome. She has such a fighting spirit just to really overcome any obstacles to be with God. And it has been challenging, but she's been fighting. And, it's been awesome just getting closer to these girls and just growing each day. So I'll give them a chance to share how they made the decisions that they made. So. I can't look at my mommy because she's going to make me cry. Stop it, mommy. Okay. I just want to share with you guys why I made Jesus Lord of my life. Like, you guys know, I'm Christian. My name is Christian. And, since I've been little, everybody's like, oh, Christian. Are you a Christian? It's like the oldest joke, like, ha ha. It's not funny anymore. Don't ask that. But I'd always say yes, and it was so easy for me to just say yes. But I didn't realize, like, I really was not living how a Christian should live at all. What made, like, a big change in my life was freshman year of high school, I moved to Chicago from Ohio. And I didn't want to come, and I'm like, this is my mom's hometown. Mommy, why are you moving me? But it was something that needed to be done. In high school, Chicago, like, the city life is so different than the small town life, and I didn't know what to do. It was like, oh, I'm in this new place. Let me form to what they do. And I wasn't being myself at all. When I got to high school, I tried to fit in with everybody, do what's popular, hang out with the cool crowd and stuff like that. I was, everybody that I wanted to be friends with, I wasn't. Like, the real good people, I wanted to be with the cool people. I don't want to be a lame, all right. But, I was just hanging out with these people and getting attention from them, doing things, falling into peer pressure, getting attention from boys that really didn't do anything for me, but it was like for a little bit, I felt a thrill out of it, and I was like, okay, this is kind of like a love. I think I was looking for some type of love. My mom is my best friend.
And she always used to tell me that, like, Christian, you're my best friend. And she had me when she was 16. I've been there with her through everything. And it's hard for me to look at her because I know we're feeling the same thing right now. And she's so proud of me because I'm being myself now. I'm so happy.
Come on.
All those things I was doing, hanging out with people, lying to my mom so I could just go out and be with these people that didn't even care anything about me, just wanted something from me. I just want to turn to Romans 6:21. It says, what benefit did you reap at that time from things that you are now ashamed of? Those things would result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. I used to wonder, like, I'd be out with all these people, and I come home, and I just cry. And I'm like, what was the purpose of me just doing all that? Nothing. I got nothing from it at all. Because I was looking for attention from people, the relationship with my mom kind of suffered from it. I wasn't even though she's my best friend, I wasn't paying her attention. I wanted attention from these people. What can I do to please these people? Because I know my mom will always be there for me. Let me leave her alone right now, not even caring about her feelings. I moved out of my mom's house just thinking I was grown. Like, I'm going to do this. I don't want her telling me what I have to do, because I want to be with these people. I want to be loved by somebody else other than family. And it wasn't love. It was just, like, the wrong type of attention. Moved out and had to start paying bills. realized that was not what I was looking for. I had a job, a little fast food job at Potbelly Sandwich Works, and it was so hard. Every day I was just dreaded going, but I had to go to make money. And Brittany was working there this summer, and it's so funny because we said hi, like, when she came in, hey, hi, but we never really talked. And the last day, when she was about to quit, we talked, and she invited me to church, and she just told me about how she moved from New York, and she's like, yeah, my church is not an old people church, it's fun. So I'm like, so when she invited me to church, I was like, okay, I'll go, you know. I might as well go. Yeah. Whatever, I'll go. And then when I came to church and all these people are like, hey, we love you. Who are you? but just seeing the kingdom and seeing that love, I'm like, this is what I was looking for. Here it is, right here. And then after church, we studied the Bible, and the first study is seeking God. And I was looking for an answer, and there it is. He wants me to seek him. And started thinking of my studies. I went through all the studies, and about 2 weeks later, maybe, I confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I was baptized, and it's been 2 months, about 2 months and 1 week now, and these have been just the best time of my life, and I'm looking forward to growing, and I love all of you, and Jesus is Lord.
Obviously, I was raised a kingdom kid. I was always had people from the church in my household all the time. I didn't really hang out with anybody that wasn't in the church. We lived here in Chicago, and then we moved to Madison. We became a member of the ICOC church in Madison, and I began growing relationships there. I had my best friend, Britt. I had a best friend there, and I had other very close friends, too. After all the stuff that happened with the church, an argument had happened, things had happened, and basically what had happened was that they told my dad that we couldn't hang out with our friends anymore. We couldn't talk to them. We couldn't have any contact with them. And that was very hard because that was everything to me. That was everything I had ever known was right there, the church. And then we ended up moving, and I had to start over with other friends from school and stuff. So that was hard. That was just very hard. I became so angry. I became angry at God, my parents, I blame them for most of it, but it wasn't their fault. I mean, they stood up for what they believed in, and I didn't believe it at the time, but I was so angry with them. And I was angry. I took it out on my sisters. I took it out on my family. I began looking for friendships at the school where they weren't my friends. I mean, they used me for everything. I began seeking attention from guys and doing stuff that I knew was wrong, but just doing it to fit in, doing it to be cool. And it was not, and then it wasn't good. And then my parents decided to seek out the church in Syracuse, and we went down for the pre-inaugural service thing down here, and I met everyone, and I was like, oh, this is cool, but I'm never moving here, never for this. Little did I know, my parents had another plan. So, but I was not happy about that. That made me even more angry. Like, why should I trust these people? People before were just not good for it. And then we ended up moving, and I became angry, and I was, as Christina said, standoffish. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to get hurt again. But Brittany kept coming, and the other sisters kept coming and get in the way in there and talking to me, and we started becoming very close friends. And then I just started realizing, I saw through other people, like, what does the world have to offer to me? What, honestly, like, there's nothing there for me. And I started realizing all the sin I was in and things I needed to change. And then I saw Theo Jr.'s baptism, and I was like, okay, if he did that, then I can definitely change. Oh, not like that! Not like you! Not like that, just I saw that he had changed and I could do that, and I realized that that's what I wanted to do. So afterwards I told Brittany I wanted to start studying, and so we did. At first I wanted to take it slow, and we did, and it was hard for me. I started having to realize all the things I had to change, you know, things I had to do, but I pushed through it. I still struggle with those things, but I'm working on it. And then August 22nd, I was baptized, and it's been a very hard about 4 months, but I'm working it, and hopefully it'll be till I die.
Okay, well, my name is Peggy, and like Christina said, I'm the fighting Puerto Rican. I'm not even 5 feet tall, but I guess that works. I grew up in a religious family. Some of my family's Catholic, some of my family are Christians, and me and Brittany actually had a math class together, and she invited me to like a Bible talk and to do some studies. So I started studying with Brittany and Christina, and I came to a block in the disciple study, because I was just kind of lying. Yeah, I'm a disciple. I could do that. Yeah, like I do it every 5 years. You know, it happens. It occasionally comes to me. You know, I guess I'm a disciple. And then she was like, you know, I want you to come visit my church. And I was like, okay. And then at first I didn't see any musical instruments. And I'm Hispanic, so in most Hispanic churches you see drums and the congas and stuff like that. And I'm like, where are the drums? And then people just started snapping. I was like, okay, that's cool. I could do that. Okay. Anthony had preached, and it was about the sermon, the two-thirds. And the truth did hurt. And the truth was, I wasn't a disciple. So I wasn't a Christian. And so I told Brittany at the church, and I was like, man, this, I feel really convicted. And so we kept doing the study. So I was already convicted about the discipleship one. And then we got to light and darkness. And it was just, we actually did this study at McDonald's. So, you know, I was a little tempted with the food, but beyond the point, that we did that, and I really wanted to cry while we were doing the study, but I was like, I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to cry. And then after, I went home, and I cried like a baby because I knew I was wrong. I knew I wasn't in the light. I wanted to be in the light. I was lying to myself, saying, yeah, I'm in the light. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a little gray in here, but I think I'm in the light. I'm not sure. And it was just very confusing, and it was very hard for me. And I had a conversation with Brittany, and I remember I told her, you will never change my mind. I guess I just wanted to be in the dark. Someone put the light on, please. But then she was like, I love Brittany so much because she did not give up on me. She was like, no, we're going to work through this. And she was like, you know what, how about we have lunch with Chris? And then I was like, well, Chris, well, he's kind of smart. So that's a smart guy. So I don't know. I'm a little scared. You know, that was in my mind. I didn't tell her that. But I was like, in my mind, I was like, this is a smart guy. And I'm not sure, but I agreed to it because I knew something good was going to happen. And we worked through it, and I think one of the things I struggled with was I felt like I was a Christian already, and I had done so many good things that I was a good person, but I wasn't right with God. You could be a good person, and you cannot, you know, it doesn't mean you're right with God.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're serving Him. And so then finally I decided, I was like, I'm not right with God, and I want Jesus to be my Lord. So I was so happy because I'd made that decision, and then I was baptized on November 4th. So I just encourage everyone to, you know, to talk to Brittany or talk to me or get involved with people, because that's one of the main things that helped me was just talking to people like Christina and Brittany and, you know, some of the brothers like Joe. All right, so.
We have some awesome sisters, don't we? We have some awesome brothers, though, too. I got to introduce you to these guys. This is Victor, Richard, and Joel. These guys got some incredible stories they're going to share with you. Victor has an incredibly loving heart. An incredibly soft heart for God. When this guy smiles, you can see it from across the room. It's like the biggest smile you've ever seen in your whole life. But we always joke with him, like, hey, bro, wait till you're preaching in Africa, bro. But Victor's an awesome guy. Richard here, he's got a little story to him. Victor and Mike, the guy who opened the really big present, so they got baptized on the same day. Mike goes back, he's preaching to his family, baptizes his brother Richard, and Richard got a soft heart. We would study the Bible with this guy, and everything the Word said would just like absorb into his heart, and he would just obey it immediately. This guy has stories. He'd be at school. This guy's in middle school. He'd be preaching to his friends, laying them out in their sin. I mean, Richard's a zealous young man, and I mean, Joel, this guy, he's a beast. He came into the ministry, and I saved Joel, and his nickname came Beast. And I was like, what? But Joel's awesome. He studied the Bible overnight because he was so fired up about getting right with God that he ended up getting baptized in Lake Michigan at 5:30 in the morning. But I mean, this guy's got an intense zeal for God. He'll lay you out for crossing the street before the little white guy comes out. I mean, he's passionate about what he believes in. I'm gonna give these guys a chance to share. Just listen to their stories. But they are incredible men of God.
Hello, Victor.
Hello, Vicky.
Good morning, guys. My name is Victor, and I just want to share with you my trip to
Calm down, bro.
I just want to share with you I made it to the family.
All right?
Family of God. And I was born into a Muslim family, as some know already. And I used to go to mosque and all that thing. And I was raised by aunties and sisters and all that. I never had the family parent experience and all that. And there's one day, and one of my sisters invited me to church, and I went over to the church, and I noticed the difference, you know, because they kind of sing, play drums and all that, and in the mosque, we don't really do that. They don't used to do that. They, like, pray all quiet and stuff, and I was like, huh, it's fun that, you know, you dance and clap and all that. So I started going to church. I won't say I'm a Christian then, but I used to call myself a Christian because I didn't really even know what the Bible was. I know that I didn't even have one at that point in high school. So I kept going to church, and sometimes my sister would be like, if you know you want to go to church, it's Christmas, I'm going to buy you gifts, let's go to church and all that, then I'll go to church again. And they told me about getting baptized and all that, and I went through the study. Usually it's 6-week studies. I went to like 2 weeks and I quit. I stopped going. So to cut the story short, I finally got to know my dad after high school, and it was pretty rough. Because he knew that I started going to church, and kind of forced me to like diversify a little bit, because it was like you had to go to mosque. So I began like switching in between. I became confused and all that. But so I decided to move away from family. So I moved to South Beach in Miami. With the heart of I can make it on my own. And from there, I moved to Chicago. And one day I was in the bookstore trying to get the books for the semester. Then Pastor came over. And it was like, hey, dude, can you help me start up this Bible study on campus? I was like, sure. Because it's something that I've been part of all along in high school and all that. I always like go to Bible study and all that. And I was like, sure. Then he got my number and gave me a call that night and was like, so where are you? What do you think you are? What do you think you know as a Christian and all that? And I was like, I don't really know a lot, but I've always put it in my prayer that I really want to get closer to God. I don't know how, but I always put it in my prayer. Then it was like, I can help you with that, dude. I was like, sure, I'll be willing to. But then I have these gods on there, you know, the gods. I put my study first, my future and everything. I always put them first. Because I don't want to treat my family the way my dad treated me and all that. So I wanted to put things straight. So I'm more serious about my future, my career and all that. Then he kept, you know, Pastor kept calling me, when can we get together? I kept saying tomorrow. Then we finally got together. And when we started the study, I was thinking of something else. Because what I wanted was how to get to know God. And he brought this study that's not even related to what I thought. I was like, so you tricked me into this? I was thinking like that in my mind, that, oh, you tricked me. Then we went through the study and all that, and it was like they were talking about being a disciple. I was like, being a disciple? I wanted to get close, but not that this close. Yeah. So then I went home. I asked my roommate that I know seemed to know much about Bible. I asked him, is it true that Christians... as a Christian, our purpose in life is to become a disciple and make disciples. It was like, yeah. I was like, huh. If you could say that, then it's true. Then I gave Patrick a call. I was like, I'm ready for the next study. Then I kept going through the study and all that. Then as a church goer, then I used to believe that if you've been a good kid and you go to church, that's all you need to go to heaven, you know, to go into heaven. And I remember asking Chris, you know, Chris is dead, and I asked him that day, one of the study, I was like, if you are a good kid and you go to church, does that make you a disciple? And he was like, no, that's not enough. Then, so what really like solidified my faith in God is Matthew 6, chapter 33. I'm going to start reading from 31. And it goes, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So when I read this, especially the 33, it says, "All things will be given to me as well after all these things." So I began to think, why putting all these things first before God? So I began to like start to like put God first before any other thing, because I believe all things will come after that. And after like 2 weeks, I began to like, you know, they kept asking me, "When do you want to get baptized?" I'll be like, next week. Then Greg told me, he said, "No, it's this week, bro. I'm putting it on my phone, on my calendar. This week, bro, this Sunday." And I guess I had a reason for postponing it, because that's why I had a twin brother. So I got baptized on November 11th and I'm as a disciple.
Well, as a young teen, you know, I've been through so many things, especially like with my friends. I always had to impress them and everything, you know. Like, this time when I was hanging out with my friends, and we was all kicking it one night. We was at his house, and then like some girls came over, and then they was happy one night. I think there was Buzz, and then everybody else, my friend brought out these drinks. And then we just started drinking and whatnot. I wasn't even thinking at the moment. You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to do what they was doing, trying to mock them, you know, and wasn't being true to myself. You know, I always try to impress other people than to impress God. You know, that's the thing that took me off track. Because usually my parents, they're like very religious, you know. But there's this one time when I had started coming here often, and my dad had told me not to come here. He thought he was a cult or something. And then, you know, I had told him, I was like, "Dad, you guys wanted me to get into the Bible, and then I have got to the Bible. Why then you want me to get out of it?" And then he was like, "Richard, if you talk, I'm going to slap you." And then I was just stopped. And then afterwards, we had my mom had called a family meeting downstairs. And then we was all talking, and then I brought that situation out. And then my dad was like, "You know what? Forget it, you can go to the church." You know, and I was glad for that, because when we was upstairs, Mike was like, "Probably that's God trying to test your faith." And I was like, "Yeah." You know, at first I wanted to cry because I was like, "Man, why did he say something like that? He thought himself a Christian." You know? But, I mean, God had got me through a whole bunch. You know? Like, I had tried to smoke one time because I thought it was all fun.
Come on, bro.
Like, "Oh, snap, my dude's doing it. Let me try it. It won't harm me." You know, but when I tried it, I ain't never did it ever again. Because it was useless. And even at school, I try to tell my friends about the Word of God. You know, they don't listen to me. They just start asking, "Why you can't the Bible, man? It's dumb, it's dumb, it's dumb." And I was like, "To you it's dumb, but to me it's not." You know, I was sharing my faith to this girl at school. She called herself a Christian. And I had told my brothers about it. She was like, "Richard, stop, stop, stop." Because I was steady reading it. I was steady reading the Bible, and then she was like, "Stop, man, stop." And then she had got me in trouble with the teacher. So I stopped reading the Bible, and then I started singing some songs. And then she started screaming again, "Stop, stop, stop." And then the teacher said, "Richard, if you don't stop, you're taking to the demon." I was like, "Man, whatever, so you call yourself a Christian. You ain't no Christian." And you know, after that, I ain't never hang out with them dudes no more, because I've tried to share my faith over with them for like 3 months now. You know, they ain't never listened to me. And I took Mike's advice. He was like, "If they don't listen, I mean, just step back a little bit. I mean, you can still say hi, but just don't kick it with them like I used to." You know. And on Friday, when I was writing the script, when I was writing my notes, I mean, that I was going to present today, Mike had given me a scripture. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14, it says, when times are hard, when times are good, be happy. When times are hard, when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no, a man cannot discover anything about his future. And today, I did not even know that I was going to be a child of God, be born again, until God had worked through my brother and he came to me, because I seriously needed him. And he made a miracle in my life. He had made me see the light for once. I mean, he had took me from the bad and brought me into the good. I found a church home that loves me and cares for me, you know. And I got baptized, man. I'm doing the will of God. I'm serving him, you know. And before I leave, I wrote a poem on Friday, you know. It says, God is good and God is right. He showed me that life without him is not a beautiful sight. He's so sagacious. The love that he has for us is so precious. I made him unhappy by doing worldly things, but even though I did that, he still forgives me for my sins. Jesus died for me, and all I want to do is serve him and die for him. Now I have him, and I know he's going to stay today, tomorrow, every night and day. He made my life complete. Now I know that I have him, I will never be defeated.
I don't even think I have the beast anymore. This guy got it. You know, these stories are awesome. I mean, if you guys don't know the sisters, don't know the brothers, get to know them. They're awesome. Love them up. They can teach you things, a little bit of zeal, and that you can teach them a little more of the word. Let me tell you a little about myself. Now, I kind of grew up in a religious background. So much so, at the age of 3, I'm driving in the car, my mom keeps telling me the story. And I go, I want to know Jesus. Right? I grew up in an evangelical Baptist background. And, you know, my mom's like, let's say a prayer. All right, you're saved. Age of 3. Age of 5, I was so zealous that I got in front of the whole entire church. This happened to be a special service where there was thousands of people. And they were being broadcast to countries, so there's millions of listeners. And I'm telling these people that all you have to do is say a prayer and you're going to be saved. Now, I thought I was super zealous, so I'm following the word. I went to Awana's. I went to, I went to the service on Sundays. I love God, right?
Come on.
When I was 13 in middle school, I decided to make small groups. I was trying to go up to the teachers and saying, I need to make this small group. I need to teach people about God. Well, that's kind of when you fall. Because now I actually have people to talk to. I have friends. I'm trying to outreach to people, and I go, you know what? I'm missing something, a social life. I love sports. I love hanging out. I love people. You know, I'm kind of the party type. So what I would do is I would go to church on Sunday. I would go to 3 different youth groups in high school, and I would clock in. And then I would clock out, because that's all you need, right? You need to praise God. You need to worship. And then you go home. But the problem with that is I'm not a lukewarm person. I'm either hot or I'm cold. Well, I happen to be both. So here I am. Here I am at church, and it's praise the Lord. And then I go home, and I go, man, let me grab that drink.
Wow.
You know, it's Friday night. It's about time to party up. And don't forget, on Saturday, I'm promoting that club. You know, you get locked up to a point where, what are you supposed to tell your Christian friends when you're praising God on Wednesdays and Sundays and Thursdays and Fridays, and you're locked up every other day? And I'm not talking about locked up as in just yourself. I'm talking about prison. I'm talking about being kicked out of school for fighting. How are you supposed to say that? Well, at 18, I decided to fast and I decided to pray, and I'm like, God's going to be my Lord and Savior. I devoted myself to God, and I became a middle school leader, and I became all this stuff, and preaching the word, and being a mentor to these big moody guys, and really knowing the word, right? Well, let's turn to Romans 8, chapter 5.
Come on,
bro!
All right. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires.
But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by a sinful nature cannot please God. Well, how do you get the gift of the Spirit? You have to be baptized, right? Well, I was seeking God with everything. Well, guess what? I was a servant not to God. I was a servant to others. So when you're a servant, you really don't have a choice, right? So I get sucked right back into where I was. Not to go to church, but to be sinful. I'm talking worse than ever possible. I was biggest sinner known to man. I finally got to a point where I was like running for God like David, and I'm like, I gotta get back. I'm praying to God, I go back to church, I'm like, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm really loving God, and I'm like, this church isn't doing anything for me. I love these people, but I'm not growing, and the response I got from the pastor was, I'm selfish. Because I want to know, I want to love people, I want to grow in my faith. I'm selfish because there's other people that I should be teaching my testimony to, not worry about myself. So I'm praying to God, I'm like, God, I need to learn. I need to find some people that I can grow with, that can teach me. So I'm at work, and I meet this crazy Irish man. Some may know him as Nick Donnelly. You know? So he's telling me about himself. We're just getting to know each other. And he's like, I'm coming from Ireland. What the heck are you doing from Chicago in Ireland? You know? And he's like, I'm here to start a church. I'm like, yes, here's my guy. Here's my answer to my prayers. Let's study the Bible together. He's like, let's study the Bible together. So me and Chris, we get together at Target. We're studying the Word. And I'm a little kind of, you know, I was brought up. I got to put it in context. So I'm going through the studies. I got to make sure they're in context. I got to make sure they're right. Well, what happens is they're in context. They are right. They are the Word of God. And I'm not right. So, you know, growing up, I had this verse, Psalm 119:105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if that's the case, then this is what I have to do. So when I finally realized it and kind of went through the studies, I'm like, ooh, all right, we got to do it today. So, you know, we studied at night. These guys are awesome. I mean, they put their cross before, like, they lay it down. They deny themselves because they denied sleep and work and school to help me out. And I denied my body heat and got baptized. So, I mean, that's where I put Jesus as Lord, and that's why I could say I actually put him as Lord. And, you know, that's when the persecution starts, and that's when you have to put your pride down and say, you know what, you may be a leader then, but you're a baby, an infant to God, and you got to learn and follow out his ways.
Amen.
Was that awesome, guys? Man, we got some little fireballs in the campus scene ministry. And I know God's going to do even more. As we take communion here, I want to ask you, have you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Come on.
That's what it's all about.
Yep,
you know, Jesus wants to be the Savior. He wants to save us from the sin, the wickedness, the hurts, the consequences. But he can only do that when we've truly made him a first priority in our lives. Let's pray for our communion. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for that Christmas day. When you were born, you came on the earth, you took a fleshly existence, that you went from what is eternal to what's painful. You went from what is eternal to what is temporary. You forgave us our sins. You came on the earth and you denied yourself when you didn't really have to deny yourself. You chose to become a lowly creature. The potter chose to become the pot. God, we needed that so much.
We needed you so much, God. God, we just ask today, as we take communion, as we take the juice that represents your blood poured out for us, as we take the bread, which represents your body, bruised, beaten, broken for you, God, we know, God, that we've got to take that with a sober heart, and we've got to think, man, am I living like his blood was poured out? Am I living like he was bruised, beaten, and broken? God, help us to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, and help us to always, always, every day wake up with a decision in our hearts to make you Lord of our lives. And Father, then and only then will you be the Savior. Father, we love you so much. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.